have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hi, my name is Shay Samuels, owner of Let's Talk Business Consulting Strategy and Coaching Group, LLC. My team and I are excited about the opportunity to work with you. Yes, that's right, you. Have you been looking for ways to re-strategize, market, brand, or promote your business? Have you been looking for a consultant that can help you bring your vision to life? Well, whether you are a large or small corporation, we have just the package for you. So, let's talk business. Contact us at aboutbuildingleaders@gmail.com. Let's Talk Business, a Beyond the Fence enterprise expansion company.
I'm going to go. decided to tune in with us tonight because we are glad and so elated to have you with us. It's going to be a great tonight, and God will speak to us again about some wonderful things. Amen. And you're going to enjoy, and you're going to get happy, and you're going to receive from God on tonight. Amen. Let us check our partners tonight and see who's committed to the conversation tonight. Amen. Let me start down there by the beach tree and he's reaching up, trying to get one now. Amen. The Apostle Urban A. Whitlow. How you doing, man?
Well, man of God, the Lord bless you. Thank God for another opportunity to be here with you.
I gotta go to East St. Louis and see if they're in a gang fight or they're doing good. I got to talk to Killy Kill. Where you at, my friend?
Right here. And I am in St. Louis, Missouri, and we are doing good here.
Well, St. Louis, how you doing? Hallelujah.
We're doing good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Doing as I please and please as I do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me check. Is there a crazy man in Maryland on the loose? Amen. They took his straitjacket off earlier today and told him he was normal until he got home and saw his wife again. He started acting crazy again. He said, I've never seen nothing this good in my life. All right. Bishop-elect Ernest Richards. Are you on the line? You mean I gave him all of that, and he ain't here? All right.
Hey, yeah, he should be faint.
What's that?
I said he should be faint, and you giving him all that introduction.
I gave him all that. You know, I gave him all that.
I know.
And he ain't here. Lord,
and he ain't here. What are we going to do with them?
Is it on the line with us? All right, I guess not. I guess Indianapolis is sleeping another week. All right. Are there any others online that I am not aware of? Please make yourself known. We're so glad to have you with us tonight. Okay, I guess not. Jimmy Kim, give us prayer. Pastor Whitlow, get our scripture ready.
Okay, let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, thank you once again for another good day. Thank you so much for your grace, so much for your mercy. Thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to break bread in you. Father God, as we continue on this wonderful podcast, build us up. I thank you so much for Apostle Mills for bringing this segment on because it's important to hear your voice. And I thank you so much for my brother, Apostle Urban Whitlow, for his loyalty. It's amazing to just break bread among, you know, the big timers in your name. So, Father God, decrease us and put more of your ways, your precepts into our bodies. And we thank you. We will continue on giving you honor, glory, and you are so worthy of it all. If I had 10,000 tons, it would not be enough to show you how much we love you, Father God. So thank you so much for this wonderful podcast. We make these prayers in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Apostle Whitlow, I think I'm going to stop having my podcast on this president station. When she said my name, she just said, we thank God for Apostle Smith. Oh, my brother, Apostle Whitlow, Lord bless
you. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. You didn't hear that part. I said, we thank God for Apostle.
fell from them and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. I've read the 14 verses out of 2 Kings chapter 2, the word of God for the people of God, in Jesus' name.
Thanks be God. Now, tonight, I want to focus in on one thing. He asked for double. Here's my thought tonight. If you ask for double, can you do double? If you ask for double, can you do double? I want to start out tonight by saying that there are many of us in the body of Christ. We're asking for a whole lot. We're seeking God for a whole lot. And a lot of us have been seeking God for things that we heard other people do or other things that they have done. And now we're crying out for it and say, God, use me like you used Whitlow. Use me like you used Jake. Use me like you used this one or that one. But when you get it, what can you do with it? What are you able to produce from it? In this text, Elisha asked for a double portion of what you have. And like I said, so many are praying, make me like Juan Nita. Make me like all robbers, Lord, can you handle that? Do you know what to do with something like that? And then here's the big question, can you go through what they went through to obtain it? A lot of things look good. A lot of things sound good. A lot of things seem wonderful because the person you're trying to get it from is doing good. But when you get it, what are you really going to be able to do with it? Here's another question. Are you really ready for it? Just wonder, these are just a few things I'm throwing out here, and the panels will come in and help me take it further in a minute. We're asking, when your mouth come open in prayer, are you really asking for something that you're ready for, or are you just out there saying something because you really think you can handle an anointing that you've seen on somebody else? So tonight we're going to look to the life of Elisha after the asking, after the receiving, after striking the water, and going back to the other side. What did he do after going back to the other side? He now has the double portion. Chronicles of Elisha. And we're going to have a discussion about it, and I hope it comes up with the scriptures also. Let me know when you have it. We're going to try to help somebody tonight, because I've seen too many people ask God for things that they were not ready for. I've seen them ask for things that they could not handle. And I've seen many just crash and have shipwrecks because it wasn't for them at all. And their asking was only because it looked good on somebody else. Oh, that's why I love that Thelma Lawrence song. The gift looked good on you. Actually, that song means the gift that God gave you looked good on you. And you ought to, they said you ought to wear it well. So be careful. Be careful, my brother, my sister. Be careful in your prayer. Are you really asking God for something that you can do something with? Or are you just asking because it looked good or it made you feel good? There is a prophet I know. Great ministry. Highly anointed. But when I get in his services, I spend more time praying for him while he's ministering than I am trying to see what piece of anointing I can get from him. Because the brother can, he can preach, and then when he goes into ministering, he can hold the floor for 4 and 5 hours just ministering to people. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I know you use me, but I don't think I've ever been on the floor of ministry in the Holy Ghost for 4 and 5 hours. And I said, Lord, if you're going to put that on me, use me the way you're going to use me. What you got to say on that, Apostle, before we dig in to Elisha?
Man of God, I'm sitting here looking at this, but here's what I'll say. You got to be careful what you ask for, like you said, because you got to know what to do with what you're asking for. You can't just say, I want it just because somebody has it. You've got to have a serious purpose for knowing why you're asking for something. Elijah told him, said, what you ask is a hard thing. It ain't simple. After all of the blood, sweat, and tears, and all of the different things that took place, that is a challenge. That's a real challenge. But if you get it, know what you really want to do with it. In Jesus' name, I'm going to leave it at that right there, sir. And my understanding is that Bishop-elect has joined.
Bless you, man of God.
The Lord bless you, sir. How are you tonight?
All is well. Talk to me, Kitty Kim.
Hello there. I really believe that God gives us the ability to have our own gifts. And that's why sometimes you would find people who are really out of place. And a lot of people are only about making money. And so when you do things that are out of order and it's not ordained, really have that satisfaction because you're more focused on more so materialistic gain instead of kingdom gaining. And so when that happens, you cannot really find peace with yourself, because when you do things for the Lord for money, and not because that's what God has called you to do. You are in a outfit that is not fitted for you. So you, either the clothes are too big or the clothes are too small. In most cases, I think the clothes is too big because that's not for you to do. So that's why it's important that when people say, the Lord has called me to do this, the Lord has called me to do that. When he calls you to do something, he qualifies you. And then when he qualifies you, you have this sensational ability to do it to please him and not to please man. So I find it really something when I see, like, people things like, you know, anointed water. For I'm like saying to myself, why do I need to buy your water to get anointed? So stuff like that really bothers me because that's not from the Word. So you do have some people who are just here for to pimp the gospel. And so that's why it's important that we pray for those and God will deal with them because it says in the book that the wheat and the weed will be plucked, and he does the plucking. And so what I do in the meantime is pray for them so they understand that, you know, when you are out of line and you're not in the calling that God has for you, it's not authentic. And so God cannot really be pleased with someone who's lukewarm. It says in the Bible that either you're hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm. So you have to be sold out for the Lord on his level, on his will, on his characteristics. It should not be based on you want to be famous or be rich because, you know, that's how I see ministry. But at the same time, God do want his sheep to be fed. Don't get me wrong. But you have some people just pimping the gospel for their good, not for the kingdom good.
All right. Now, Bishop Elect, I don't know where you caught us at, but tonight's lesson is when you get it, what can you do with it?
I believe I caught you.
What are you going to do with it? And so we have been discussing the fact, amen, I was saying how it is dangerous to ask for this stuff in prayer and know you can't help it. What you got to say on that?
Well, I heard everything from the reading of the scripture down to your opening dissertation. And I do understand. I heard Apostle Whitlow's comments, and I heard Dr. Kimmy Robinson and her comments. I've got to say this. Yeah, you're right, Apostle Whitlow. Be careful what you ask for. Yes, you're right, Apostle Smith. What did you, were you there, and I'm going to say it this way to better express what I'm about to say. Were you there when that individual went through what they went through to obtain the anointing that they now have? You're wanting a double portion of that anointing. My question is, are you looking at it from the eye of man, or are you looking at it through the eyes of the Spirit? Because if you're looking through the eyes of man, it looks great. It looks pretty. It looks glorious. It looks glittery. It looks powerful. It looks prestigious. But when you're looking through it through the eyes of God, there is so much going on behind the scenes. It should scare, excuse my French, should scare the hell out of you. It should. So I'm saying all that to get to this point. What are you going to do with it? The first thing is, have you prepared to receive it? That's the first thing I want to ask. Did you prepare yourself to receive that double portion? And if you've prepared yourself, ask yourself again, are you then still ready? And Peter made mention of something that I apply to ministry, and anybody that's bringing anybody into any level of ministry, when he says to make your calling and election sure. In doing all that, that means you now take on the responsibility of accountability. You take on and if I can use the oil press, you know how they used to press olives to get the oil out of it? people don't realize you're asking God to press the best that's in you out for the benefit of somebody else. Are you ready for that? I'm going to stop right there.
You said something good there. You said something good there, and I'm going to push the envelope on it a little bit more. You said not only they're asking for something they may not be ready for, but you also said, and I'm going to put it in this term, have you been mentored for it?
Yes.
One thing we need to remember about the previous lesson, not only did he follow Elijah began to mentor him.
Yes.
Taking him to the various places that he had to go. He began to learn and glean and gain in the different places that they were going. And it wasn't until they got to the other side of Jordan that Elijah asked him the one question, why are you following me? I don't mean to go back like that, but something just hit me. How in the world do you have a mentor, and if the mentor don't even know why you follow them the way that you follow them? He said, what? Can you just tell me, what is it that you want? Why do you follow me like this?
Mm.
Did not he know? Or he knew and just wanted to see, did Elijah know? Did Elisha know?
Mm.
See,
right.
And I've seen that done over and over right here for the star. People act like they wanted to get close with my father, but he's trying to force up middle. And then after a while, he'll hit them right just to see. Are you catching what I'm saying, or are you just following?
Mm. All right.
And when he said a double portion of what you have, because the window is bright, he said, you don't have the hard thing. Because he knew what he had gone through, what he had done. He said, you have the hard thing, but if you see me, you can have it. All right?
Mm.
Now, we know the first miracle of Elisha, which was what?
Was that the oil? The striking of the water, you're right.
He struck the water. So right away, we see the anointing of the mentor was now working for him, because the mentor had struck the water to get on the other side. So he went back to the water and did what he saw from the mentor. And it worked.
He did.
And he went back on the other side the same way on dry ground. And the sons of the prophets saw it all. So it could not be denied that he swam back across the sea, across the river. It could have been said that he waded across the river. They had to testify that when he began to use the mantle, he did just what Elijah did and made it back to the other side.
Amen.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is his first action out. This is his first day moving into ask for power, and he's already doing what his mentor could do.
Apostle.
How do you have a first day out? Your first day out, you're already doing what the mentor could do.
I think.
Go ahead.
And that's me. I think that he wanted to test to make sure that what he asked for, he really received. This is just me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the way the Bible words it, it says that he took up the mantle, stood at the bank of Jordan, and with the mantle smite the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And said, where is the God of Elijah? In other words, he was saying, let me test this out. Just like, let me go this way. Just like when a person starts speaking in tongues for the first time. After the initial experience and they go somewhere, they want to test it out to see if it's authentic, if it's legitimate. That's what people do, right? They gotta do a test run. And I believe that's what he did, a test run.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you can say something, Bishop Elect.
Yeah, and I like what Apostle Whitlow put on the table just now. You know, I mean, some nice vegetables, you know, nourishing. And just to add to it, not that I'm going to put the meat on the table. I'll wait for you to do that, Professor. But I see the passing of the baton, meaning that in this day and age, we have giants in ministry, and we see the failure of the passing of that baton. Moses did it for Joshua. I know we're talking about Elijah and Elisha here. Moses did it for Joshua. Paul did it to Timothy and others. And we see here where Elijah did it for Elisha. That which God committed and gave to him, he now passed it down, or he passed the baton. Real quick story, if I may, Apostle. Sometimes we mean well, and what we mean does not come out well. A good example, go back to, I believe it was the 2008 Olympics, when the United States Olympic team was set to be the favorite to win the 4x4 relay. And they started the relay off on the first runner, and he did his job. And as he came around the corner, there was a slightly fumbled exchange of the baton, but he managed to hold on to it, and he made his leg. It was in the third leg that they lost the baton. What I'm trying to point out here is Elijah set Elisha up so that Elisha would be able to move forward in that same spirit that God had given him. What if Elijah had done an Eli and not trained Elisha? What would we be saying in this day and age about Elisha as we read Scripture? I'm happy to say this much, and I'm going to stop right here. For those of you listening, you leaders who are training your up-and-coming preachers, pastors, and whatever they may be, to God be the glory. I pray Godspeed upon you. For those of you that are not training, shame on you. I'm going to stop right there.
Now, because of what you said,
his evolution
is true, then why is this day and hour when people get the mantle, you don't see none of that mentor working through them? What is that all about?
Oh, boy. Apostle Whitlow, you want to tackle that? Because I got a lot to say on that, too. But I'm going to try to curb my tongue just a little bit. You know, I'm not here to take over the show. I'm here just to contribute.
Oh, I want to hear what you have to say. Go ahead, man of God.
Well, I'm going to answer it this way. We And I'm not going to say just generations X, Y, and Z. We got to go back to the generation that's supposed to be training X, training Y, and training Z. Many people spend so many days, weeks, months, and years under the shadow of their mentor, and they have seen the God-bred side of their mentor, but then they've seen the flesh side of their mentor. And because their eyes are allowing them to remember the flesh side, meaning the flaws and the shortcomings and things like that, the first thing out of their mouth is, well, I really don't want to be like him. And so when God is ready to elevate them, or the mentor comes to them and say that it's time for you to move to the next step, they immediately start making plans to be something different than what their mentor was. And what they fail to realize is there is no brand new way to make a cake. You still have to have the same ingredients. You know, freeze-dried eggs is not going to make a good cake. I'm sorry. You know, powdered milk won't really make a great cake. I'm just throwing these little items out there because what I'm saying is they tend to think they're coming with a new idea. They forget the fact that there's nothing new under the sun, that God's anointing has not changed. Jesus Christ today, the same today, yesterday, and forever. His anointing has not changed. The process of his anointing growing and flowing through you has not changed. Now, here you come, and you're going to come with something brand new. You got to be sensational. You're telling yourself, I got to be greater than my mentor, and you will be greater than your mentor if you follow the pattern that God has used him to lay out before you. Apostle Smith, imagine if Father gave you a pattern, and you turned around and went another way. Would you be an apostle today? I have to ask that question. I'm just saying.
I doubt it. You know why? Because it was him. Well, you know, there were some others before, but as the time was approaching, it was him that prophesied this was going to happen to.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had gone outside of what he was speaking, no, I would not be an apostle. Tell you the truth, I would have never became bishop because I would have been out of place.
Mm-hmm. And you would have been all about you. You would have made flyers galore. You would have had CBS, ABC, and NBC coming to Morningstar on June 22nd, 1990, whatever year you became pastor or bishop. Vincent L. Smith, matter of fact, what was that movie? Help me out here, Apostle Whitlow, the movie where when he took over, he had this big commercial-like thing made. Frank was his name. Yolanda Adams sang that song, I Got the Victory, in there. Donnie McClurkin was part of that music ministry, too. I see the movies. No, not the Fighting Temptation. No, not that one. This is the one where the pastor passed away, and Idris Elbert, I believe, was going to become the new pastor. But he came with this brand new presentation, nothing to what his mentor, his pastor, had taught him.
The Under-Shepherd?
No, that wasn't it. But the Under-Shepherd had the same concept. It's got to go. He had this big church. Different ones came. Yeah, Boris Kodjo was part of that. Was part of that movie too.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The name of the game.
Yeah, I hope it comes to you because Kodjo was supposed to become the successor, but he ran. He took off. Huh?
It's called the gospel.
But you guys,
it's called the gospel.
The gospel. That's it. That's exactly it. The gospel. That's it. But I use that analogy to show how we sometimes stray away from the plan that God laid out. No, you do not have to be who your mentor is. You can't be who your mentor is. If I can just be allowed, Apostle Smith, to just go over a couple of pages back to Moses and Joshua, you had two different individuals that led two different ways in getting the children of Israel to the promised land. You have here two prophets prophets who lead two different ways. He starts off with the last miracle. Now, this is why I say the passing of the baton. Elijah smote the waters, split the waters, and they went across. Elisha splits the water to start his ministry, or that double portion of his ministry, with the very same mantle that his mentor had. So when I say the baton is being passed, when you allow your mentor to work with you and work through you, you don't have to talk like them. You ain't got to walk like them. You ain't got to wipe your brow like they do. You ain't got to holler, I'm getting ready to close 75 times like they do, or whatever your case may be. But there is something about your mentor, whether it's male or female, you are going to resemble them. The only reason why I know I have some resemblance to Maddie Darden is I love to teach, and the word excites me. If you knew anything about my mentor, you would know for sure that she loved the word with a passion. And I see that same passion in me. When we're talking about the word, people say I'm getting loud and I'm getting obnoxious. No, I'm not. It's just the passion of the word that's in me. My mama taught me that. That's all. That's all my spiritual mother, of course.
One night here at the church, I was doing a consecration of one of our church mothers, and I preached service. Her brother and her son came, and you know, they both was in the streets, but they had grown up. They grew up in church. Matter of fact, they grew up in Morningstar. So after the service, I went outside for something. And so when I was headed back in the church, the brother and the son, her son, was headed towards. So her brother said, "Ooh, wait a minute, wait a minute." He said, "Boy, I ought to cut your tail." I said, "For what?" He said, and I'm going to say it like he said, so don't nobody get all chopped. "Boy, it's a damn shame you up there in that pulpit mocking your father's name." He said, "I ain't never seen nobody preach just like their father, like you did tonight." He said, "And I've been in a many service with the child of that person who preached." He said, "But tonight," he said, "I could have closed my eyes and declared that your father was in the pulpit."
Now you know what I'm talking about.
I got
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
I got thinking about that thing a couple of days after that. I said, "Lord, I thank you. The anointing of the leader is on me."
Amen. Amen. And I'll say this, I never heard Apostle Whitlow's father preach, but I would bet every dollar I own, and then some I ain't even got, that's how sure I know I'm going to get paid, that he has a lot of his father's own traits in him. Because, I hear some things, I watch it, and I'm going to tell you honestly, I'm a student of, I've watched the both of you when you've preached live and on radio and on telephone. And I've seen Whitlow do some pretty, I would call them amazing, but unusual things. And I don't think that he did these things of his own accord. I believe he got it, something his father used to do that he started doing. And all God did was take that and develop it into his own style of preaching. He managed to implement it in his style of preaching. Because I've never met his father, but I could say that I met Bishop Smith. I met him, had conversation with him. I can remember days standing on Newhall Street when he's talking, and when he would start talking, especially if he's going to say something serious. This I remember like yesterday. He would draw that first breath and then begin talking. And he would not rush his words. He would be slow, methodical. and made sure you heard every syllable. By the time he get finished talking, if you didn't understand, you had to be the second dumbest person in the whole world, because I was probably the first. But I can't remember one time when I didn't understand what he was saying. But getting back to you, Whitlow, there are things in you I see, my brother, that, you know, I know that these are traits from your father. You know how they say the old phrase, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? And not that you're a rotten apple or overripe apple. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You're just an apple that has seed that needs to be planted so that when your sons come up, whichever one's coming up in ministry, and you mentor them, we'll see shades of you in them. I see shades of myself in my own son, my youngest son. And y'all, I don't know if you've heard him preach, but I sit there sometimes and look at him, and I say, God, look what you done did. That's a proud father to know that his son can deliver the word with authority and with the anointing. That's all I'm trying to say.
I got to ask Kimmy Kim because she's trying to be quiet on me tonight. Where are you getting your source of power from? Who has been? I get my source of power.
I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off. Well, I must say that I have a praying mother for sure, because I thought Christians or believers was weak people to be nice to those who are mean to them in my early walk. So I didn't take it seriously. So I had a praying mother and a praying father, and that is why I am here today. Because now I can truly say that the gospel is for real. When you do have a relationship and you ask for it, he will give you more power. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit. I can't do anything without God through his son, Jesus Christ. So those are my source of power. And then as I grew and grew in grace, I can also say Dr. Cameron Alexander out in Atlanta, Georgia, I joined his church back in 1998, and that man was so amazing. Oh, my goodness. You talk about a stronghold. One thing I loved about him, and he went on to be with the Lord in 2019, is that he loved the gospel. And he says he will preach the gospel until God calls him home, and that's what exactly he did. He was in his 80s when he passed on. And so what I liked about him was the fact that he really loved the Lord. Because you could see it through his family relations. He was always real. You could see it how he loved his wife. And so that was another good example, because he studied to become like more of a gospel instrumental artist. He played the what's that instrument?
Trumpet, sax.
And his father was like, no, you're called to be a preacher. So he ran for the calling. And so he was one of the shut-ins in Georgia when they did that back in the 70s. He was one of the shut-in students. And so he shared the stories of that and shared the stories of his struggles as a believer, and he really convinced me that this was the way to go. So I thank him for that, because I was about to become a Muslim, because I thought black people were weak, you know, being nice to people who mean to you and blah, blah, blah. I didn't understand it, okay? But now
and
I do.
Apostle. And now she'd be so sweet as punch. Now I'm like, I want to punch you. Will you just tell him off one time? Just once.
I'd be crying.
One of the things I want to say, though, you talked about your mother and father being prayer warriors. And I can tell that when you pray, that you were trained in prayer. And I don't mean they sat down and, yeah, I'm going to say this, you say this. You have learned from prayer warriors. And then I can tell you spent a lot of time with your dad in conversation.
Oh, absolutely. That's my boy.
I can hear in what you say from time to time. I can hear your dad talking because, and I don't know, but I can hear a dad talking out of you because there is a certain way that you begin to say things, especially when you start talking and the spirit come on you. I say, okay, that's a father talking toward that. And so the whole purpose of that little moment, we ought to be able to see the mentor that helped us. We're supposed to see some of that come through us. We ought not to be trying to act totally like this, but we ought to see it come through. Okay, Winslow, give us a couple of the miracles he did, and we're going to talk a little more. What was the next miracle after the water?
The next miracle was healing the water near Jericho.
Wow.
Was healing the water.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the waters were bitter.
If we jump down to verse 19, it says, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt therein and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake."
Wow.
Wait a minute. What kind of power are we talking about? You said he took salt and put it in the water and told it to be healed. Is that what you just read, Whitlow?
That's what I just read.
Then with all these preachers in America, why nobody heals Flint, Michigan?
You just lost half your audience on that statement. They mad with you now. They don't want to talk to you.
You just told us that was enough, and we're talking Old Testament. There was enough anointing in Elisha, that he put salt in the water and told it to be healed, and the water became better. But they had all that problem up in Flint, Michigan, with all their preachers up there in Flint, Michigan, and nobody had a solution.
Nobody took the time to seek the face of God. Go ahead, Apostle.
Was that the problem? Was that the problem, Richard? Nobody sought God? You agree with that?
Well, I mean, he's being very nice and mild about it. because I'm different.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
See, some of them wasn't going to touch the waters because it wasn't going to be televised. Others wasn't going to touch the water because they wasn't going to get no pay out of it. And some others weren't going to touch the water because they knew getting well, they didn't have no power in it. But that's just what I'm saying. What do I know?
I want y'all to understand, he didn't go to the water with a box of Morton salt.
No, he did not.
This salt that we're talking about tonight was mineral that God
salt of the earth. The salt of the earth.
Yeah, these were minerals, mineral salt that God had him to throw in the water, and when he threw it in there and said be healed, God made the minerals go to work. And the water was
you know, we could see something in that faith mixed with works, in this particular case, the salt.
What'd you say?
Produced the miracle. Faith mixed with works produced the miracle.
And what did James say?
Faith without works is dead, being alone.
Boy, you better stop it. Somebody can be mad with you and give a kill.
That's all right.
Somebody gets all kind of letters. Somebody don't let that guy on the air no more.
They saying that now.
Listen to this, though. Listen to this.
I don't know what I'm going to do with you guys.
And now I'm thinking about this. I done been to Haiti. You done been to Haiti. Others I know have been to Haiti. And the water's still dirty and nasty. And the people are still sick from dirty waters. What did we seek God and say, Lord, what can I do to the water to make it different while I'm there?
Can I answer that honestly before you go, Father Whitler? We was going on, in parentheses, a mission trip. We was going to missionize or missionary or mesmerize, should I say, the people of Haiti. We wanted them to know we're Americans, we are well-educated, we are well-versed, we have power, according to us anyway. And we wanted them to see this. You know, it would have been the great thing to do, to go there and allow God to use you to produce the one miracle that would make the entire nation stand up and pay attention. I failed. I got to speak for me. I can't speak for you.
And think about it. Not only would it make the nation stand up, that whole nation would turn to God. Go over there and turn
Amen.
That water in the clear, drinking and wash the water. Oh, you're talking about a revival. Good Lord.
My God.
Just like you said, we're going to show off our ability, not what God can do.
There you go. And we don't think so.
If we were to really pray about it, God would tell us to do, and that water would change immediately.
Amen. Amen.
And now I'm
thinking. Amen.
Now I'm thinking I went to Mexico. Water
mm-hmm.
just as clear and beautiful, but they told
mm-hmm.
us, don't drink the water while you're over there.
Do not.
Make sure you drink bottled water. And
mm-hmm.
so what was it that I could have done if I had really sought God about that water that would have made a change? See a lot of stuff coming to me now. I'm just throwing this out here. I'm not trying to make none of us guilty feeling. I'm just thinking, if it had been, of course, when I was Cancun, I was on my honeymoon, so my mind was clouded. Hallelujah.
Well, don't feel bad. When we went to Cancun, we were in the same boat. And I want to throw something else out there, you know, and you made mention of the water. And this is a quick story on this past Haiti trip. You know how you meet individuals that want to leave you with the impression that they are so supercharged with anointing that everything that comes out of their mouth is pure gospel? You ever met that kind of person?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I ran into a couple that were like that, and I did everything I could not to judge them. But listening to their words, I thought of something. We had lunch one time in Haiti, and the young lady washed the salad with the water from Haiti. The day we were supposed to leave, my stomach acted up like a volcano, I promise you. I need not tell you how many trips to the bathroom I made. The same two anointed individuals who ate that same salad said just before it was time for them to get on the plane, one of them said they got on the plane and they spent more time in the bathroom than they did in their seat. You were anointed, so why didn't you just pray over your stomach and it'll go away? The other said he came with Imodium D and some KO-Prep-T just in case. I said, bruh, that was a smart move on your part. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, so we can't brag about this anointing. Here we
mm-hmm.
see Elisha did mm-hmm. something so phenomenal. earth, God said, put salt in the water. He put the salt in the water and told it to be healed, and it was good.
Mm.
And the people were able to live, but the water had been changed.
Can I throw one more thing in there? God moved. We saw the miracle move because of the faith and the action working together. But now let's go back to the scenes. The men of that city came to the man of God, which means that obviously they had a level of confidence. God's spirit was in Elisha. You know,
don't
it kind of helped.
Don't do that, Rich. Don't do that.
It means something. You know, when Jesus says, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, he says, I'm in the midst. If any two shall touch and agree as touching any one thing, these men had touched and agreed that Elisha was anointed by God, a prophet of God, and a man who had the ability to move as he moved with God. All this combined together created a situation and a circumstance that became beneficial to the entire city. And possibly to the nation.
Apostle Whitlow, did you hear him walk up on that and try to throw out there that the problem why we don't see the miracle now is because the people don't believe in us no longer? Did you hear him?
I heard him.
You know, that's a shame. I heard him. That's a shame. I'm going to find some oil and put on his head and his feet. And ask the
please,
Lord to do
please, I want to go higher.
What was the
and
next
I want to
year?
Remain. I, come on.
What's the next miracle?
Class.
The next miracle is the two female beggars and 42 youths. So when
Uh-oh.
We read 23:4, it says, and he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto
Lord
him,
help.
Go up, albeit, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood. And tear 42 children of them.
Wow.
Now, there's twofold here.
Yes.
First of all, there was a day when even as children, we wouldn't dare tease with a man or woman of God.
We weren't stupid.
You did not talk about your pastor. You didn't mess and talk about no other minister. You were scared the Lord was going to strike you down right where you stood.
Mm-hmm.
And actually what doing was telling him, we want to see you go up like Elijah went up. Won't you go up? Go up. Go ahead. And then let's talk about his hairstyle. Lord have mercy. Whitlow, I got to say it. They had the nerve to talk about his bald head.
Uh-huh.
But while
he was tear his hair out.
But while he
was looking at that,
they forgot that he was a man of God.
Amen. And you know what, if I could say that, and I know Whitlow always liked to tear his hair out, and I just pray he stopped tearing his hair out. But anyway, when I hear that, it makes me think of something. When the scripture says, touch not mine anointed, it is not just saying it just to hear. You know, I know at that time it was referring to David, but it refers to any man or woman who is walking in the anointing of God. Keep your mouth off of them. Because there are consequences. We're in a day and time where folk are land-blasting pastors, bishops, overseers, you know, and that is not your place. Your place, people, whoever's listening to this podcast at this time, your place is to pray for those individuals, not talk about them. You can't figure out why you're in the dilemma that you're in because your big mouth is creating such a problem for you. God creating so much turmoil in your life that you ain't got time to talk about that pastor, that bishop, that overseer, that prophet anymore, because now you got a boatload of problems that you got to solve. Now, had you kept your mouth shut, God would have not only solved your problems, he probably would have brought you to a better place. You'd probably be in your promised land. I'm going to stop right there because I feel a word coming up right now. You asked for it. That's
look,
the word.
Look at this. Listen at this. For those children to be saying that to the prophet, this is I'm throwing it in. As they
their
say,
parents.
It's my spiritual imagination, but for those kids to be able to say that, they had to have heard it at home.
Thank you. And the consequence is the parents lost their kids because they couldn't keep their mouth closed.
We don't realize that something, the thing that we are running our mouths about at home, the children are picking it up. And then when they go forth with it, now God smack them and get them, and we wonder what then happened. I don't know. I don't know what the Lord had to do with my child for the leg to get broke. No, that was your child's punishment.
Mm-hmm. And thank God it was that light.
You better be glad for that broke leg. And hopefully it will mend. If God didn't break it in a way, we'd never come together.
Pins, rods, none of that'll pull it back.
But they had to have gotten that information from some adult. Why? Because the Bible says there were the 50 sons of the prophet. There were only adults there to see what happened. Them kids didn't know nothing about Elijah going up. They heard it.
That's right. And their parents told it.
Thank you. Now, here they are out here making fun of the man of God because they can see Elijah and Elisha. So now they're telling them, go out, go ahead. Go out. We want to see you do what Elijah did.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know they were getting ready to see something. But it wasn't Elijah. It wasn't. And can you imagine when them bears came out? 42 kids. Them bears was moving so fast until 42 kids had no way to escape.
Well, can I respectfully, and I'm not a nature freak, but there are some things you learn when you do those nature. The claws on a bear can shred the skin of a human and go as much as 3 to 4 inches deep into their body of a grown man.
See?
So you can imagine when they started swiping, and I'm not sure if they got them at the jugular. I don't know where they got them. They got them. Nobody got away. Nobody escaped. Isn't that interesting?
But let's bring it to today. A lot of people can't understand why certain crazy things is going on with their family. Keep your mouth shut on the man of God and things can turn out better.
A whole lot better.
You get home on the telephone in front of your church. I don't believe what Pastor said today. You think that's going to happen? Should he have said that this message? Who are you to question what the man or woman of God should or shouldn't have said?
That was a good question.
I know I was preaching one year around Christmas time. And it's been in my spirit for so long. The Lord said, today is the day. Go ahead with it. I never forget. My message was the man in the red suit.
Wow.
And I took my scripture about how Isaiah said he saw Jesus coming from Bozar of Elam with dyed garments on.
Wow.
That he was so bloody, he looked like he had dyed garments.
Mm-mm.
And so, in the course of my message, I said, y'all need to stop. Oh, Lord, I might hurt Kim and Kim tonight. I said, y'all need to stop telling these kids about Santa Claus and tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
I said, now you want to hit your child and fuss at your child for telling a lie, and you still tell them about Santa Claus. And you know Santa Claus don't exist. So it's a lie you're telling. And you tell it faithfully every year about Santa's coming. Santa's going to leave some gifts for you. Tell your child, I'm going out and get some stuff for you because God blessed me to be able to do it. And you're going to have a good time on Christmas.
Amen.
I said, how are you going to tell a story about a man in a red suit coming down a chimney and you live in the project? What chimney? And then you don't,
Lord,
have a fireplace. You don't
help.
Even have a fireplace in the project. And you talking about he coming out the fireplace. Come on now, you done lied and told a big one. Lord,
Stop it, Smith.
I just shot Kim. She thought Santa Claus was still coming. Lord have mercy.
No, wait. Whitlow, I'm still stuck on the project day. Ain't got a chimney nowhere. You brick all the way around. No chimneys.
So where is he coming in at? What is he going in every apartment and build a chimney just to come out?
Well, I'm going to put it to you. Apostle Smith, where I come from, we were probably pretty docile. But, you know, for those of you that are familiar with the New Haven area, you try coming down a chimney on Ashman Street. The man in the red suit, I'm not talking about Jesus coming with bloody clothes. I'm talking about Santa Claus. He would have lost his suit if there was a chimney in the chimney. He'd have got robbed in the chimney. I promise you.
Suits and gifts and everything. Hey, why are you coming out the wall? They'd have been climbing up the pole trying to get the rest of the gifts out the car.
Rudolph be missing his nose. Dasher and Dancer and the rest of them will be broke up, or some of them be in a barbecue before you know it. Hey, I got some fresh meat over here, man.
Some of this stuff we just need to stop. Talking about the bunny hopping at Easter.
Yeah, you know what I was getting ready to say.
And that ain't nothing. They don't even realize these little statements are pagan beliefs.
They sure are.
The bunny at Easter.
Mm.
The goddess after it. And you're telling your children that the bunny hop, and we know why they got the bunny for Easter, because bunnies make babies in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about the fertility call. Or God is.
Mm.
It's just
my
stuff.
Lord.
There is just stuff we need to cut out in the house of God, because it's a lie. And as my father said years ago, he preached the message. It was a lie. You told it.
Wow.
Now,
Dr. Smith,
what's the next miracle, man of God? This is good.
It is. It really
the next
is.
The miracle is valley filled with water without wind and rain. That's over in the third chapter of 2 Kings, verses 15 through 20. It says, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus said the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus said the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand, and ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stone. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water.
Wow.
Okay. I'm getting ready to throw out a message. You preachers, get your pens ready. He said, call the minstrel. So you need to go preach. When the musician gets through, there ought to be a flow.
There is a flow, Apostle. You don't want to hear about it, though.
No. He called for the minstrel. Let's stay on target. He called for the minstrel.
Uh-huh.
And while the minstrel was playing, it began to be a flow, so was that God spoke to Elisha what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Elisha began to do it, God said, watch what I do. Ain't going to be no wind, no rain, but they give it a flow through here. But it started with a minstrel. It started with a musician.
Amen.
I need to go around the country and preach that text right there, because I want to ask the question, is there a flow of God doing in your church when your musician get through playing?
Mm-mm.
Or do you feel like getting up, doing the boogie? Do you feel like shaking your groove thing?
All right.
Lord have mercy. I know Whitlow trying to be quiet, but he turned some over in his head too. Hallelujah.
I told y'all, I let the professors in the heat.
Go ahead. These are some great miracles.
You were saying, sir?
Well, I like listening to the professors and the dean, because you know I'm just a nobody just here trying to get a little bit of this teaching. But one thing I will, and I agree with Apostle Smith, that when the minstrel gets through, there should be a flow. The problem is that we're in today's time, if we may go this direction for a moment, we're in a day and time where these minstrels, they want to do, their only focus is on fast music, but they know nothing of creating a prophetic. And God likes a flow, because it is a flow that causes the enemy to take a flight. It is the flow that causes demons to leave out of people's life. It is the flow that causes the atmosphere to be conducive for God to show himself mighty and strong. And so we have a lot of folk who are minstrels, and I don't even want to call them minstrels. I just want to call them musicians, because when you're a minstrel, you create the flow. And I'm sorry to say, but that's what a minstrel is. A minstrel is a flow. I'm so sorry to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not talking about every 28 to 32 days, But I'm talking about every time you come, I'm not preaching, I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Every time you come into the house of the Lord and you sit on a keyboard, you sit on an organ, you sit on drums, you sit on a guitar, you sit on a bass, you sit on a harp, you sit on a trombone, you sit on a saxophone, you sit on the congas, or you sit on the bongos, whatever it is. I'm not preaching. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. There ought to be a flow. There ought to be a flow that won't stop. There ought to be a flow that's so heavy that it makes people get their self together. It ought to be so great and so grand that people are saying, I don't want to leave this right here because this is what I've been in need of. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm done talking.
Now, so we know now that the minstrel or those that are on the instruments, I never forget, 1 year we had a shed for Diamond's birthday, and as her guest surprise, I invited Jonathan to go.
Right.
And I told him, I said, when you show up, come to the back door of the church. I said, and knock on the door, let me know you're here. So I stopped everything. I said, did I just hear a knock on the door like I didn't know what was happening? I said, did I just hear somebody knocking? Hold the music. And so they opened the door, and there stood Jonathan, and Diamond like they had a fit, because that's her buddy. And so he come in, but here's what I'm getting to. Just before he started playing his guitar, he said, that's, y'all know how he talk. Let me think. He said, let me think. All you musicians in here, he said, I don't care whether you play the organ, the keyboard, the drum, trumpet, sax, bass, whatever it is. He said, no, every time your hand hits that instrument, you are in warfare, and what you play is your source of weaponry. He said, and when you get finished playing, that enemy should be slain. Uh-oh. He said, you don't have to be playing, just be playing, but your instrument ought to be a weapon. Now, that was probably 5, 6 years ago. I have never forgot those words he spoke that night. And he was ministering, it was a chief musician ministering to other musicians. Know that your instrument is your weapon. It's not just something to play. Ooh. And I'm telling y'all, after he got finished talking, he started playing, and man, a wind of God came in that place. And we had us a real good time as they begin to play next. It was really good. All right, what's the next miracle?
The next miracle, the widow's oil increased. In chapter 4, 1 through 7, we're going to have to pick up on this next week. We're after the top of the hour.
Lord! I tell you, that old Alfred Hitchcock, he catches everything.
I wasn't going to say
everything.
Nothing. I certainly wasn't going to say. I wasn't going to say nothing.
Yeah, we just getting rolling, but we'll pick it up next week. Well, I hear Alfred Hitchcock saying, "Well, you have been very, very naughty tonight. We're going to have to end at this point, but it's really not the end. We just have to end where we are. So, come back next week. Same discussion hour, same discussion channel, and hopefully the same discussion panel, maybe one or two more. But come back next week. We're going to dig into this just a little bit more. God bless you all. I enjoyed y'all tonight. I learned so much from y'all. I'm better tonight. Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. I say amen. If you're catching hell, don't hold it. And if you're going through hell, you better not stop. But go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. God has better things in store for you. Kimmy Kim, won't you be my friend? And let it rock, let it roll, let it drop.
All right, Crystal.